And it reads, if anyone if you forgive anyone for anything, I also forgive him. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did so for you in the presence of Christ, so that we may not be exploited by Satan. For because we are not ignorant of his schemes, we are not without knowledge of the weapons of his warfare. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verses 11, teaches from the King James Version, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The tools of Satan's ungodly and condemning purpose, we must be aware of. The background of the scripture that has reading that has been chosen is coming from 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 5. And it concerns the forgiveness of the repentant offender. Here we see it teaches. It is reported commonly that there is fornication, sexual immorality among you. And such fornication is not so much as mentioned or named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up. You are proud of it. You have not rather mourned or shown disapproval of that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I truly, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that have done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come together, in my spirit with you, and with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan. Why? For the destruction of the flesh. Why? That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had in view here the repentance of the offender and the complete restoration of the saint. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapters 2 and verse 6 through 10, Paul reminds the church at Corinth that godly sorrow leads to repentance and salvation. That's 2 Corinthians 7 through 10, and that to deliver godly sorrow has purpose. That is to bring the offender back to God. To go beyond this point, it would be counterproductive and beyond God's purpose. Who is this spirit of evil that we're speaking about here today? Satan. Satan is a great enemy of the church. In fact, the name Satan means adversity. Luke 11 and verse 15 describes Satan as the ruler of demons. John 16 and verse 11 describes Satan as the prince of this world. Ephesians 2 and verse number 2 teaches us that Satan is described as the prince of the power of the air. Satan is also known as a great dragon, likened unto a roaring lion, the vile one, the tempter, and the accuser. Satan is a formidable opponent. Satan causes great fear. Satan has destructive spiritual powers. And aside from having God on our side, Satan is not to be reckoned with. Acts 19 and verse 13 through 16 teaches us this. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me there to Acts 19 and verse 13 through 16. It teaches from the New International Version of the Bible. Some Jews went around driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke or call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those that were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, was doing this. In verse number 15, it reads, "One day, the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who are you?' Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding." Satan is not to be reckoned with. We can do nothing without Jesus. My friends, know this. Satan works overtime in the church. Amen, somebody. We are commanded to be vigilant and to be alert to Satan's schemes and devices. Today I would like to share with you some of the of Satan's tools, some of Satan's devices that he uses to damage our relationship with God. Satan's devices include distraction, discouragement, disillusionment, discontentment, and discord. Distraction. 1 John 2 and verses 15 through 16 from the King James Version teaches, "Love not this world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." These are some of Satan's spiritual tools, methods, and devices. Satan seeks to distract us by getting us to focus our attention on material things instead of spiritual things. He wants to distract us by having us focus on the doctrine of man rather than on the Word of God. Matthew 15 and verse 9. "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." 2 Corinthians 2, forgive me, 2 Timothy 2 at verse number 4 teaches, "No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this world, of this life, that he may please him," him who? Please God, who has chosen him to be a soldier. Satan's devices are designed to distract our minds from the major things of God to the minor things of life. I'd like to share a story with you. I'm reminded of a factual event of distraction that happened. One of not prioritizing the important things of life. The news story occurred in San Antonio, California. In the month of September, California was experiencing 99 degree temperatures. A woman accidentally locked her 10-month-old baby niece, inside her parked car. The baby's mother and aunt frantically tried to unlock the car. Soon the infant began to fail in the heat. The health began to fail. Changes were seen in the child's skin color. The child's mouth began to foam. It was a matter of life and death. Quaker driver happened by. The man sprang into action. He grabbed a hammer from his truck and broke the rear window of the car, saving the child's life. One would think such action would be heralded as heroic. The story goes on to tell that the woman, the aunt, became angry at the driver for breaking the rear window of her automobile. I ask you, what was more important at that point in time? The life of the infant or the window? You judge. Satan seeks to get our priorities out of kilter. Colossians 3 and verse 2 teaches us to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We are to first pursue God and His kingdom church, placing this top in priority above all our wants, needs, and desires. Matthew 6:33. Discouragement. An act of depriving a brother or sister of courage, of their faith. This is one of Satan's most potent devices. To take away our hope is Satan's top priority. Sometimes it is even our own brethren that discourages us. Out of jealousy and ignorance, some become devices of Satan. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 28 teaches, "Whither shall we go? Our brothers have discouraged, have melted our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, more than that, we have seen the sons of Anakims. We've seen the sons of giants there." Listen close to the church. A man that is continuously criticized becomes good for nothing. The effect of criticism is a detriment to spiritual growth and a sin. We are commanded to do good to all men, especially of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Disillusionment. That's another device of Satan. The state of being disenchanted or disappointed by unfulfilled expectations. Proverbs 13 and verse number 12 of the King James Version teaches us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is like a tree of life. Friends, have you ever built a sandcastle of hope? I know all of us have gone down to Gulf Shores and this type of thing, Perdido, and we've built sandcastles in the sand. And we watch even as the evening comes and the tide comes in, washes away our little castles of sand. Sometimes we build sandcastles of hope, only to have them destroyed by the negative elements of life, to be washed away by waves of prejudice and hate. I myself have built such sandcastles. Sandcastles of success and hope. Many of my castles have been destroyed by evil lies and greed of man. Moreover, one spiritual song states, "I will trust in the Lord." Another song states, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Out of my disillusionment have come spiritual growth and a dependency on God. I've come to know that I can do nothing without Jesus. John 15 and verse number 5. Discontentment. Half of the world is unhappy, discontented, because they cannot have the thing they feel It's making the other half happy. Satan uses members of the Lord's body to build discontentment. These members are known as murmurers. Do you know any? Do you know anyone that grumbles about much but do very little to please God? 1 Corinthians 10:10 teaches, neither murmur, yes, some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Philippians 2:14 teaches, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Murmurers, get this now, complain without any intention at all of making correction to the things that they feel are wrong. You're just murmuring. You're just talking. You're just negative. If you don't like it, Johnny Mathis says, change it. Amen. Discord. A device of Satan that Satan uses, self-centeredness. A self-centered individual says, my way or no way at all. Satan loves this because it causes confusion in the church. Satan hates such a person, forgive me, God hates such a person that causes discord in the church. Proverbs 6:16-19 teaches of the six things that God hates. Proverbs 6:19 teaches of those that God, of a person that God hates. Why did he say a person? Well, listen closely. A false witness or liar that speaketh lies, and he or she that soweth discord or division among brethren. God rejects from his fellowship those that would do such a thing and be used as a tool for Satan. Selfishness says, do it my way or no way. Favoritism says, our way is better than your way. Narrow-mindedness says, we've never done it that way. A lack of fellowship says, you go your way and I'll go my way. Romans 12:3-5 teaches, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man, to everyone, that's generically speaking, man or woman, that is among you, not to think of him or herself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. What does that mean, Brother Stone? Think with integrity, according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of his faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, but we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We talked about that this morning in Bible study. The fact that God, Sister Hicks, I think you brought that up, that God wants to use us. He tells us what to do. We're members of his body. He wants us to be his hands and feet to get his will done. We must abase ourselves and be willing to do God's will or be tools for Satan. The secret to every discord. I hope you got your pen and pencils. Write this down. The secret to every discord, every division, every disagreement in the church, in Christian homes, communities, and churches arrives from seeking our own way rather than doing it God's way. When our thinking is not to bring God glory, but to glorify ourselves. We are therefore headed for a fall. The Proverbs writer wrote in Proverbs 16, in verse number 18, pride leads to destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Another reason that Satan's devices exist in the church is, get this now, a lack of knowledge and of an abundance of self-pride. Many Christians have forgotten that we are co-workers, fellow workers of Christ, and not competitors. I ain't in no competition against you, Brother Parks. We're fellow workers of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, God's building, God's and not a device of Satan's use. Every member is to examine his or herself. 2 Corinthians 13 to verse 5, whether we be in the faith, proving to our own selves that we be in the faith. Except we be reprobates, or except we be rejected of God and beyond hope of salvation. We are not commanded to examine others. For truth, their works give them away. You should know them by their fruits, by their works, their conversation. Their fruits give them away. We should also know that we are workers of God by our good and godly fruits that we produce. Each and every day of our life, we are proving through our obedience to God that we are devices of God's use and not of Satan's use. Satan could not defeat God. And now Satan is on the attack of God's children. That's how he works. We must remember. Get this now. We Christians are in a perpetual war against Satan. We must be aware of his devices, the weapons of his warfare. The scriptures warn us about Satan. Satan is not our friend. He is our enemy. He does not love us. He hates us. He is not for us. He is against us. He indeed is our number one enemy. We must remember. Satan tempts. Matthew 4 verse 1. He schemes. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. He lays out snares. 1 Timothy 3, 7. He deceives. Romans 20 and verse 10. He lies, and he's the father of lies. He's also a murderer. He accuses and murders the character of other people who are trying to do God's will. We should not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes and devices. We must remember, if sin were not so temporarily pleasurable, so exciting and enticing, Satan would not be so powerful. We must resist his trap of enticement. Hell has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Hell has not been prepared for the obedient children of God, living faithfully in Christ Jesus. We must remember, sin takes you farther than you want to go. Sin keeps you longer than you want to stay there. And sin costs you more than you want to pay. I ask you, church, are the passing pleasures of sin really worth the permanent consequences of sin. Remember, the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God, and the lake of fire that will be cast into hell, which will be cast into the lake of fire. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. In the day of God's wrath, we must be found living faithfully, church, in Christ Jesus. You might be living faithful lives. You might be doing God's will. You might be a good and perfect man. I won't say perfect, but complete man. You might be doing the things that you know God wants you to do. But you may be lacking one thing, that you are not in Christ Jesus. We must be in Christ Jesus. This is where salvation is. God has a plan of salvation for the souls of man. Listen now. We must hear and believe the gospel. Romans 10 and verse 17. It teaches us, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must repent of past sins. Luke 13 and 3. We must repent or perish. We must confess Christ to be God's Son, Matthew 10 and verse 32 and 33. We must be baptized, that is to say, immersed in water, not for the cleansing of the outward man, but for remission of sins. We must live faithful lives in Christ Jesus unto death, despite the trials and tribulations of this life. Therefore, we will receive a crown of life. I'm not talking about the crown with rubies and this type of thing. I'm talking about eternal life. This is symbolism that we're talking about here. When we speak of the crown of life, we're talking about eternal life. That's our goal. We're trying to get to heaven. We must not follow Satan. He's not going. He's not going. He's already been. He said this morning he messed up. He got kicked out of heaven, never to return. Don't follow Satan. Don't be an instrument of his devices. I believe the song of invitation is 380, just as I am. I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother song leader, if you'll lead us in that song. At the conclusion of the song, if you desire prayer for any reason, we're going to ask you to make it known verbally, or you can write it down. If someone has been properly taught the word of God, which should be added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, we ask that you come down the aisle. Don't be afraid to walk down the aisle. It's a great investment in your soul's salvation. It's the start of keeping your soul out of hell and separated from God eternally. But if you are a little bashful, hold up your hand and I'll come and meet you. And we'll walk together. Amen. At the conclusion of the song, please let your desire be known. Just then,